Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Behind Our Eyes book launch. I'm Annie Cipetta, and I'm the book launch chair, and I'm going to be the interviewer tonight for a very special book launch for Dark Brilliance by Clonel Anthony. We all know Clonel Anthony as Nell. So if I switch back and forth between Clonel and Nell, you'll understand why. So Dark Brilliance is a wonderful collection of stories, stories where you'll be surprised and you might experience a bit of trepidation and fear. You might fall in love, be empowered, and feel empowered and experience, enjoy the ride because it is a ride. It's wonderful. So Dark Brilliance is a series of short stories that will have you struggling to catch your breath at one moment and sighing with pleasure the next. So you'll feel powerful by the time you finish this collection, and you won't want to miss it and share it with everyone else. And even though I've known Nell for about, I guess, a year, and to me, she's a new writer. I think she's someone that you need to watch and read her books because she's going to be a shining star. So she's got some other stuff going on. Nell, maybe you can let us know all your other books and short and stories and other series, because you could probably explain it better than me. I don't know if you want to talk about them now or wait till the end, but you want to talk about them now before we get started?
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah, wonderful.
So I just published on April 8th this year, Fractured. It is book number one of the Blind Love series. The Blind Love series is a series about mostly visually impaired people. The first book, the heroine is visually impaired. And book two, both of them are sighted, but they're blind to the love that they feel for each other. So that's just another way for love, the Blind Love series to carry on. Book three is about a visually impaired woman who meets a hockey player who thinks she is a puck bunny. And book four is about a gentleman who goes blind but finds love in the most unexpected ways. So that's the first series. My second series is the Dreyarch series. Is Dreyarch means power in Gaelic. And the people in my book series are people of power. That's why it's called the Dreyarch. And it's a trilogy. I am finished with the books, but they need to be edited so that I can publish them. So that's what's going on with that.
My goodness, I think you have more book plates spinning than I do. That's amazing. It
Thanks.
really is. Yeah. I want to read all of them.
Thanks.
Yeah, for sure, especially the Dreyarch series. I think I read a couple of little pieces that you might have shared maybe a couple of months ago, and I was very intrigued by them. Is that the one with the tree and the forest and all that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
Yes.
I'm giving a little teaser there, people. Trying to get you going. All right. So, do you want to share any of your excerpts now? You're going to have two, you're going to have four excerpts total, right? And you're going to share two in the beginning and two at the end. So, why don't you just let me know when you want to share them and I'll stop the questions.
Well,
Does
I'll
that
go
sound
ahead and
good?
share two now, and then we'll
Okay.
do the interview and then two at the end. How's
All
that?
righty. That sounds great.
All right, just a moment.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is called The Cottage in the Wood. The cottage sat in the woods, lonely and untouched for years, and looked to be a part of the forest, surrounded by trees, covered from thatched roof to loam by vines and ferns. It was just another part of the landscape. As a child, my friends and I played there. It was our fort, pirate ship, and a sanctuary in the bad times when father hit mother or grabbed at one of us girls when he couldn't get to mother anymore. Then Mama disappeared. I felt hollow inside, had nightmares, and the cottage stayed bare. The games we played there seem so foreign now as I stare at the place that used to be our playground and now being razed. As the house went to ruins and the forest took over it, there was no need for it to stand anymore. The theory was that nothing could be gained by leaving a falling down college in the center of the wood. As the house was demolished and everyone watched in horror, the bones of a woman we assumed ran away from her abusive husband and left her children to deal with him alone was found, and the theories changed once again. Someone had killed her, but who?
What a wonderful recitation you did. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was
Really great
The
reading.
Cottage in the Wood. And this one is called Rose Petals on Main. One of the things that goes on with Dark Brilliance is that it goes from like the darker stories to a lighter path in stories into love and then magic. And so the second story is called Rose Petals on Menu. It's a bit of a sweet story. Aren't you doing that all wrong? My sister asks, as I pluck petals from a rose and list the adoring virtues of my love. He's handsome, tall, funny, sweet, and the personification of kindness. I continue, undaunted by my sister's protests. He makes my soul sing, my tummy flip, turn, and pitch, and makes my mind fuzzy with lust when he kisses me, as the menu of my man's virtues scatter around me in lovely velvet deep red petals. I feel a pair of eyes observing me. I seek its source and behold those deep sapphire eyes that look upon me with such exultation, light up with laughter, as he watches me pluck the last petal of the menu and kiss it, whispering, "He loves me." And as the last of the petals fall from my fingertips, he agrees, "Of course I do," leaning down to offer me a kiss that takes my breath away, expressing the story of his love and adoration as each passionate sentiment encompasses me and spreads through my soul.
What was it like writing that for you?
Actually, that one was pretty fun. I
Yeah.
think the prompt that night, that week, because we have 6-minute stories, and that particular week, it was menu. The prompt was actually menu, and I was thinking about this, you know how little girls like to pluck, "He loves me, he loves me
Yes,
not." And
right.
so I was like, yeah, I do that with, that word. So that's how that came to be. And it was a lot of fun to write that story.
That was very creative. I really like that a lot.
Thank
A
you.
lot of imagery in there made my mind go places, and I like that,
Yeah.
stories like to have that added little bit of exploration while you're reading someone else's work. Yeah. So, I found a lot of these stories haunting. They made me think a lot, like I just said before. They were sensual, and I don't mean like in, they could be sensual in a sexual way, but I meant sensual as in just a play on words and the and the phrases themselves, and very using all the senses, kind of sensual. That's what I mean more than anything else. So I really like that, and I think it's because, we you're a person who's got blindness or low vision, so that way, we tend to either bring that in more. I think it's because it's just you and the way you write. and your experience, you know, it's like,
Yeah.
you know, so I really appreciated that a lot. And, you know, you've got a wonderful imagination. I love, you know, I'd be like, wow, she came up with that. Oh my goodness. Yeah, just some of the words and the phrases and the descriptions and adjectives and how you make them work. I really appreciate that. And
Thanks.
yeah. So you've got a lot of like really powerful emotions in these stories too. You've got envy, betrayal, you know, sometimes it's you know, some kind of, like emotional ecstasy. You've got a lot of big ups and downs. So do you imagine those things, or have you experienced those things, or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. Primarily, I like to write about emotion. Emotion is like a big thing for me. I'm not sure if that comes from the therapist part of me or from the person who's lived through some of the passionate things that I have in there. But the emotion is what I'm after. I want you to feel what the character is feeling. I want you to grieve when I grieve. I want you to cry when I cry. I want you to laugh, love, play. You know, I want you to do all those things with me. And so I try to make sure that the reader experienced those things when I write them.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the connection of being a therapist and being a romance writer, or writer of, you know, of what you do with romance, suspense, and all that. Like, how much of that did helps you? Which what helps you in which category? Like, when does the writer help the therapist, and when does the therapist help the writer?
So as a therapist, I think the emotion, because you know you deal so much with emotion anyway. Client comes in, they're depressed. Client comes in, they're anxious. Client comes in, they're angry. So you deal a lot with emotions anyway. And you're trying to help them learn how to regulate or deal with their emotions. So, you know, when you're working with a character, the first thing I think is what makes this character tick, or how can I make this story make my reader feel? How can I make my reader cry? How can I make my reader laugh? So all of those things are running through my mind sometimes, and sometimes it just comes out. You know, I'll sit down and I'm like, oh, that's a really good word to work with, and I'll just spit out a story, you know. But
Around the word.
yeah, around the word, yeah, like
Oh.
that story menu, that was just all it was menu. And I came up with a kid plucking flowers, only this time it was a woman thinking of her lover. And you know, does he
Right.
love me? Does he love me not? Well, actually, she was listing his virtues. But her
Right,
sister's like,
right.
that's not how you do it. And she's like, she just ignores her sister and kind of keeps ticking off the things that she loves about him. And then, you know, when he sees her doing it, I think he's kind of amused, you know. So, and she's,
So, would you be amused
yeah.
if you saw somebody doing that about you?
I'd be ecstatic. I'd be like, ooh, somebody likes me enough to care. Yeah.
Wow. What about those pieces of like when you write about like the where it goes off the rails, like the obsession part and the possessiveness and the abuse, like. Is that, I mean, how do you tap into those things? Is it the therapist that you're tapping into to get the authenticity of those emotions and those characters?
I'm not sure if I think a part of it's the therapist part, because you know, in order to kind of, because you know, I've never been somebody who's been abused, but I have worked with it with women who have been domestically abused.
Right.
I've actually worked with offenders too. I've had a couple of those too, who I didn't mean to hit her, but you know, she was making me so mad, you know. So I've heard those things, in therapy.
Right.
But I also kind of, and of course the DSM, DSM is awesome for telling you for
So
describing
tell
someone like
everybody who
that.
doesn't know what the
Okay, yeah.
DSM is.
So the DSM is the Diagnostic Manual,
Statistical
Statistical
manual.
Manual of Diagnostic and Mental Issue and Mental Health Disorders. And so it actually give you markers for different types of disorders. And it does have antisocial behavior disorder in there. It has a narcissistic personality disorder in there. And it has obsessive compulsive personality disorder in there. So, and those things, sometimes I use those to kind of help me craft my villains, because I actually more recently, I had to look up a few things for my new villain that I'm working on right now. So, I mean, it's kind of fun to craft those characters. Actually, believe it or not, my villains are usually my favorite characters.
Why is
So,
that?
I think it's because the darker part of us is rarely used, because we don't get to go out and be jerks to everybody. But my villains can be, and in that sense, I get to act out those ang that more angry side of me, or that more darker side of my personality. So.
Is it like the what if fill in the blank? Like, what if, that kind of, do you start out with any of that? Do you explore that what if question with
No,
any of your
not
characters?
really. Although I do have a book where I have a character do that with her lover. She tells him, she's like, because she's messed up their relationship. She's completely torn it apart, and she's deliberately done it throughout the entire book. And so there's a part where she sits down beside him and she thinks he's asleep, but he's awake. And she starts playing the what if game with him. She's like, what if, I would have done this? What if I would have told you this instead of did that? And the whole time he's laying there listening to this diatribe or the soliloquy, it changes his feelings, because he's kind of given up on her. But now he's thinking to himself, maybe I shouldn't have given up so easily. So there's stuff like that happens. Yeah.
Really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it keeping that you keep very close to the interpersonal and the characters' interactions, and that very focused, and I appreciate that as a reader.
Well, I think that character is the heart of the story. I think it's what makes the story more than the story itself. We can plot a beautiful, well-crafted plot, but if the characters are flat, no one wants to read it. Or at least I know I don't want to read it. So
Yeah, no, I
that's
agree with you.
that's what I
I'll be
thought,
like, ho hum, ho hum, ho hum. Yes.
Yeah, so
All right, I know about that. I know that. I know that. I know that. Tell me something I don't know. Tell me something that intrigues
exactly.
me. Yeah,
Yes,
for
yes.
sure. So what about the part? So when you What happens when you craft a romance story? Like, what's your first, like, what's step one for you?
Character profiling.
Okay. And how long does
Literally.
that
Yeah.
take? Like, there's an average.
It can take a while depending on the character. Some of my characters, like for instance, Ava was in book one of which is Fractured. She's in Fractured. She was Sam's best friend, and Knox was Sai's best friend. So those two characters were already a little developed, but I had to give them backgrounds. They didn't have in that book. They didn't have backgrounds,
There, because there were secondary characters,
right. They were
right?
secondary characters, almost tertiary. They are almost, kind of, more like
Hanging out in the
sidekicks.
background.
Yeah. And so I had to kind of bring them to the forefront and give them backgrounds. For instance, Knox's father, no, his parents dies in a car accident. And for a long time, you know, he resents that you know his family was gone and he was the only one left behind
Right.
with his brother, which you know at first he didn't even have a brother, and then all of a sudden I start writing the outline and he has a brother, so I have to go rewrite
Yeah,
my character profile. I was like, wait a minute, where
wait a
did Peter
minute.
come
You didn't
from? You
tell
know,
me that
yeah,
character, right?
exactly,
Like they don't tell
yes.
you until they tell you, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, after you have to go back and you have to update your outline. And yeah. Hey, he has a brother, by the way. So,
So
yeah.
so you got your primary characters with the outlines. Now, how far do you go with like you said, the tertiary characters or the the parents? Do you I know some authors that make, a complete family history. Do
Right.
you go that far?
No, honestly, no, I
Okay.
don't. However, I think with the Dreyarch series, I'm going to have to, because the they are literally paired off into clans. Like they're, you know, like for instance,
Right.
there's a Halliwell clan, and which is feuding with the Mactera clan, and then you know, there's so many characters, sometimes I can't keep up with them. So I really am gonna have to go through and make little charts for each family and say, well, this person belongs to this family, so that every now and then when I'm forgetting who I'm talking about, I can go look it up. So yeah.
Need your
Yeah.
own encyclopedia for you,
Exactly.
right?
I was actually thinking about you know, because there's a lot of authors, I've seen authors do what they call series Bibles.
Yes.
And I was thinking about doing
Yeah.
that for the Dreyarch series.
Yeah, George R. R. Martin does that. He did that with all his stuff, and Brandon Sanderson does that too. He actually employs people that are archivists for him
Wow,
because his
that's
stuff is
really
so
neat.
complexed. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about need.
Yeah, plus he
Wow.
makes a lot of money, so he can
Yeah.
afford them. Wow.
Imagine so.
So let me pivot a little bit here. And in your stories, it could be me, and just what I pick up on and what I know of you and then stuff like that. But there's this to me, there's this just this thing, maybe this background or maybe this accent or spirit of, always looking for love or finding a connection. Do you think that's true with your writing? Like maybe in the background somewhere, there is that trail of wanting and wanting to be wanted and be desired and all that. I mean, because isn't that part of romance writing?
Well, yeah,
Finding those things out.
that's part of romance, and I do tend to, even with my darker pieces, you'll see that little underlying of I wish I was loved by this person, or
Yeah.
'cause there's even in the first story where the young lady is watching the house being raised. That was her playground, you know, up until her mom died. And then when her mom
Right.
passed, I don't know if anybody caught on to that, but when her mom passed away, she kind of stopped playing there. And now
Yeah.
she's gone there, and now she's finding out that all this time, that's where her mom was. Everybody thought this woman ran away, but that's where her mom was. Her mom was buried
6:27
under that house. So that's something to think about, you know, something to kind of ponder. But there was this little edge of why didn't anybody love me in that
p.m.
story? So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I exploring those really vulnerable moments is another thing that I really liked about your work in those collections. And they really did make me think and make me kind of just after I would read a piece, I would have a little moment to myself. So, and that was good because it made me turn and turn, internalize, say, oh wow, did I identify with this or not and why? So and I really like the way that worked out for me personally. Maybe it's because I'm a therapist too, I don't know, but it really helped me, just kind of resonated with me in a good way. So you want to talk about a little more about what inspires you as to write, and write the genre you do. And I'm also interested in, the path you took to get where you are.
Wow, that's a lot of questions. I'm gonna try and
I
answer
know.
all of them.
Sorry.
Let's see. Well, first of all, inspiration. I don't know. I've always kind of been a storyteller. Even when I was a little girl, I used to sit in my mom's lap and you hear mama here. I give her the book and then I take the book back and show her the pictures and I make up my own story. So I've always been, even when I couldn't read, I was a storyteller. I make up my own stories.
Okay. Yeah.
And then once I learned how to read, which was to me later than I wanted to learn, I was about 13 or 14 years old when I learned to read at my actual at and above my learning level. And so, so reading other people's writing has definitely been one of those things that pushed me to write too. But I think my journey, it's been a long, arduous journey. I was, let's see, I went to school for journalism initially because I was like, I want to write for money. I want to make sure I make money from this if
Right.
I'm going to
Yeah.
do this. And then
Right.
I got into journalism and I hated it. That's if I
Why
can
did you
state
hate
it.
it? Why?
Because it was just like, I mean, you see these people. They're crowding around other people, bothering them, and plus I'm shy, horribly shy. I don't seem like it, but I am. So I can't see myself going up to a stranger going, "So, how'd you feel about that?"
Yeah.
So it just wasn't my thing. And then I graduated from there, and I went to Lesley University for my Master's of Fine Arts, and I have to say that was a pivotal moment for me. And the reason why I say that is because it was probably the worst thing I could have ever done. It was not a good experience. It's probably one of the worst scholastic experiences of my life.
Sorry to hear that.
And I stopped writing. I stopped writing. I was like, you know what? This is not for me either. Apparently, I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing well. I'm melodramatic. I mean, all the things that I'd heard over the years that were negative, I internalized and I regurgitated to myself repeatedly. And so I stopped writing for a very long time. If it wasn't an academic paper, I wasn't writing it. That has a lot to do with, what I did. And so I stopped writing until about, I think that was like 2000. I graduated in 2006. I didn't start writing again until 2006. 17? No, 2018.
That's a large gap.
Oh yeah, that's a big gap. Big gap. I wrote primarily, like I said, I wrote academic papers. I was,
Right.
I went back to school for mental health counseling. I worked as a substance abuse counselor for about 2 years. And then there was this contest for Cosmo and Audible had gotten together and had, excuse my French, but a bad-ass female lead romance contest.
Right.
And so I decided, oh, I want to join this. And I think you could only write about 50,000 words, and Fractured was born.
Wow.
I had decided, I wanted to use that scene from my experience in Walmart. The gentleman that helped me was not even close to Psy.
Oh, well, you know.
I was like, okay, I can use this to help me create this book. And
Set the stage, yeah.
I started the book and I went from there. I started in 2018. I finished in 2020. So, I did not enter the contest. I was like, by the
But it
time,
inspired you to
yes, it
do
did. It inspired
something.
me. It made me start writing again. And I started kind of interacting with Behind Our Eyes more. I was a member already. I just didn't interact. I wasn't even participating really. But I started participating with Behind Our Eyes a little more. And then I can't remember when Abby started putting up the 6-sentence stories. And so every time she put one up, I would write one. And again, menu was one of those words. Actually, majority of the stories in the Dark Brilliance book are from those words that she posted on the WPL, on the writer's party line. And so I started writing short, the 6-sentence stories. And that's kind of where Dark Brilliance came from.
That's wonderful to know that the writer's party line and something so simple, as a word could help you kind of heal your way back to writing again. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's a great message. Great message. So we're at 7:34. What would you like to do? Would you like to read more excerpts or have another question or two? How are you feeling at this point?
Let's do, I guess, one more question, and then I'll do my last two, and then we'll take questions from the
All
group.
right. Yeah. Okay. So who are your go-to authors? Who are the people that you just binge listen to?
Nora Roberts. She is like my all-time favorite. And my all-time
Oh,
favorite book
I
by
love some of
her
her stuff. Yeah.
is True Betrayals. Oh, I love that book. It's one of my favorite books. Nalini Singh is my second go-to nowadays. She writes paranormal romance and mystery books, believe it or not. She also has a contemporary romance series as well. So
Oh,
she's kind of
okay. Yeah.
eclectic, and
Right.
I've kind of done the same thing. I have my paranormal romance and I have my romantic suspense. But I don't have a contemporary romance because I don't know. I just found a new author. Her name is Olivia Hale, and she writes contemporary romance. I love her books. Just her use of the English language is amazing, and that those emotions and her characters just it just lights me up, and I enjoy reading her books. I have been laughing for like 4 days on her new series. So I really and it's and believe it or not, I think it's something as simple as like New York Bosses or something like that. And like the first book is called Think Outside the Boss, like BOSS, and
Play on
all the little
words.
it's really neat the way she uses the word boss in all her
Ah,
her
it's
titles.
a nice little gimmick
Play
to,
on words, yeah.
play on words. Wow,
Yeah,
cool.
but
All right.
those are a few of my go-tos, yeah. And so are you ready for me to read the next
Yeah,
excerpts?
go
Okay.
for it.
Let me see. Okay, so this one is Sea to Shore. It's kind of hard to explain, but hopefully you get the gist of. It's kind of a romantic short story. It really is. So, Sea to Shore. She's drawn to him. Her entire being strains towards him, pushing against his shore, hugging him, pulling away, teasing life into him. As he stoically pretends to ignore her, particles of him shift and stir. Just like her, he desires to hold her close, pulling at her currents, shifting with her tides. Don't think she doesn't know how much he yearns for her, as she always longs for him. Somehow, throughout each waxing and waning of the moon, they meet again around the world, casting their lures for one another and assuming a stance of doubt and disbelief. His body surrounds her waves crashing at him, moving him to fit her needs. They flow, fade, rise, and drain, shifting shallow and bittersweet, her ocean waxing, his sand waning. lovers never at peace, relentlessly in flux, they're forever entangled. Ocean always fleeing from shore, and shore endlessly accommodating ocean's whims.
Now that is sensual.
Yeah. So I
I
kind
never
of
thought
use
grains of
them.
sand against it could be sensual,
Yeah. And
wonderful.
this one is called Entity of Existence. This is one of my power stories, kind of like it's to kind of push that power into you. But it also talks about the earth and just the world and how the world and the moon gives us power. So, Entity of Existence. Small, almost insignificant. An entity of indifference, a place beyond time, a world beyond cosmos, and yet ever connected. I gaze upon a night sky from my perch here, from this terrain. There are sh stars, sharp and crisp, glowing their protection over all creation, grass and sensations buzzing beneath my feet, the earth humming her song of joy and welcome. To her creatures, the waters that soak into her soils, the fauna that feeds from her, and the flora that burrows its roots deep into her well of generosity. I lift my hands to the heavens, feeling the pull of the glowing distant moon. Everything builds within me. This energy brings a song to my soul, making the crickets babble and the owls snore a chorus of hooting lullabies on the air after a hunt. In the pouring out of an explosion of climactic power that the earth fills me up with through my feet, the water showers over me from the clouds. The moon presses upon me with her ice and fire glow, and the wind gusts through me with its charming song. I discover within myself a glory beyond reason. The realization of me stands in that distant sky, and I am existence itself.
What inspired that one for you?
Oh man, I forgot the word.
It
it
was
was one of the
another
words.
one worder.
Yeah,
I
it was
know.
one of the
It
another one
was it
worder.
moon or something? I don't
No,
know.
I don't think it was moon. It was something really simple. I can't remember what it was, but I remember it came from one of the words that she put on there for it might have been power. I can't remember the word, but I just remember it was a word, and I was like, and all I could see was this woman raising her hands to the heavens, drawing down the moon, so
Ooh, how evocative.
but
Sounds
that's where I
great.
got that from.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all that. Wonderful
Thanks.
readings, and I hope it entices more people to read your work, sharing it like that. And it certainly, if I haven't already read your stuff, I'd want to go in and read it just from the way you kind of like, I don't know, the way your voice and all the intonation is wonderful. So do you want to open up to questions now?
Yes, we can do that. We can go
All
ahead
right. All right. So, Deanna, we're going to wait for people to raise hands, ask questions. Oh,
and
Marlene raised her hand.
ask. Okay.
Go ahead, Marlene.
Uh-oh.
Okay, am I unmuted now?
Yes,
Yep, you are.
yes.
I know that Nell has an absolute amazing gift for imagery and description, and I'm wondering if you have any advice for those of us would like to do that too.
I would say definitely kind of, maybe find something that you like, that you've felt before if you can't see, and try to describe everything about it with all of your senses, like your sense of smell, your sense of taste, although some things I wouldn't advise you tasting, your sense of touch, those different, use your senses, use all of them. Even not being able to see is still a sense of sight. So that's something to think about when you're describing things.
Who else? Who's next?
But it went back down before I could get to it.
Deborah Thompson was next, I
Yes,
think.
that went.
Yep.
Yes, that's who it
Okay.
was.
Hi,
Go ahead,
Nell, Deborah.
Annie.
Hey.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey. I just want to say that I certainly enjoyed the readings that you did, and I enjoyed reading Fractured.
Thanks.
Quite an roller coaster. It was really good. And I mean, I love the way that you use the language and do all of the descriptions that you do, using the language and all of the imagery that you put into your writing. And I'm not a romantic writer per se, but if I were to be a romantic writer, I would love to pattern my writing after your writing. That is
Well, thank
Aww.
you. That's really nice. Thanks,
Yeah,
Deborah.
pretty good. So I know that you have some other books that are coming out, but do you have other titles under? I know you have Friction that's going to be coming out. Do you have another title under that series that is going to be coming out?
Friction after friction is Frosted, which is because the hockey player, and then the fourth one is Fragmented, and I haven't figured out what book five and six are going to be, but I do have the characters. They are like they're in Friction, as a matter of fact. You get to meet them in Friction.
Right. How do you come up with your character? I know you talked about this a little earlier, but how do you come up with the character names? And in that book Fractured, when you had that Walmart scene, the having the person to help the young lady in the Walmart scene, I was like, that doesn't happen at Walmart. But it was a really good a good. Publix, yes, Walmart, no. But anyway.
The gentleman that helped me at Walmart was very efficient and he did a very good job. I was not interested in him. However, my character got lucky with size.
Absolutely. I've never had good help at Walmart in it at any. Oh, that was great. All right, I'm through dumping on
Okay.
Walmart.
So to answer your question, I tend to I do three things actually. One, I have I think two baby name books that I flip through sometimes. Two, I have the app. I have like four apps. I have one called the Name Dictionary, and then I have the Surname Dictionary so I can find surnames. And then I have two surname dictionaries and I have two name dictionaries on my phone. And then the other one is sometimes I'll just like pick out a name and then go look up the meaning. And if the meaning's not quite right, sometimes I'll actually look up like words that mean certain things. That's how I got the name of my villain for my new novel is I looked up what words what other words means like evil or devil, and it was one was Arako, like Arakoh. And so what I did is I pretty much named him Sarako. I added an S to the start, and I kind of respelled it a little bit, and that's how I got the name of my villain this time. So there's a few ways that I do it.
Of hands up. Sally is next.
Sally is next. I could
Okay.
barely hear you, Deanna. That's why I was asking.
Sorry. Yeah,
Okay,
Sally.
good. There she is. Okay.
Hi. Now, I read Dark Brilliance earlier this week, and I have to tell you, I was just so struck by the power and the beauty of the language and imagery. After I read some of the pieces, I just had to stop and catch my breath. I hadn't read
Wow.
anything like it. I've also read Fractured, and I have to say, you kept me up far too late with it, but I'm waiting for the next ones, and I'm
Okay.
definitely one of your devoted readers at this point.
Oh, thanks, Sally. I appreciate that.
Great feedback, Sally. That's
Yes,
wonderful.
awesome feedback.
You're
Yeah.
welcome. You're welcome.
Lisa is next. You can unmute if you wish, Lisa. Okay, if you're having trouble, Lisa, let's go to Keisha and we'll come back to you. So, Keisha, can you unmute?
How much do you draw on experience, or do you, when you write your stories?
Some things are from experience. The visual impairment is definitely from, when I was younger, like in Fractured. The young lady is a high partial. I was a high partial when I was younger. So a lot of like the stuff that she can see are things that I could see then. And like some of the things that she could do, I could do then. Like I could go shopping by myself. And I rarely asked for help, but just so happened that night she was tired, so she asked for help. I don't think I would if I was very stubborn when I was younger. So there's little things that I'll draw from, and then there's some things that I'll do a little fibbing on. So and fraction is just another, I mean not fraction, sorry, fiction itself is just another form of truth, right?
Yes.
Okay, Orlando has his hand up.
Can you guys hear me out there?
Yes.
Well, hear me well?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get closer to the microphone. I'm curious, how much does being black inform your writing and your outlook on the world and the language you use? Do you find yourself code switching in your writing to try and capture some of that, or are you not very interested in that? What are your feelings on it?
As far as being African American, it and sometimes I feel like I'm probably gonna get a little flack from this from the black community because I grew up in mostly Caucasian circles, so I don't have much, kind of ethnic, to kind of I just don't have that, so I don't use it. I don't try to pretend either. So I just use what I know about, and the language that I know is what I use. I don't try to draw on that. Every now and then, like I think in Friction, I kind of have her say, "All right, now don't make me get ghetto on you." And that's something that I've said in the past. So yeah, every now and then I'll do something like that, but it's very rare because I don't speak that way. So I don't pretend to be urban educated that way because I have no street cred, no street knowledge, and I don't want to pretend. So yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, next up is Lisa's back. She went out and came back. So can you unmute now, please?
I think I'm unmuted, am I?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, I couldn't get unmuted before. I couldn't find the unmute button. I'm impressed by all the imagery, especially being a poet. I think that's one of the reasons why writing prose and poetry are different, but yet you bring a lot of imagery into your prose. So I want to know about poetry and prose and your journey about poetry.
I've always been, I don't really think of myself as a poet. I know a lot of people do because they think my poetry is great. And I look at my poetry and go, what? because I have a book of poems right now that I've been really critical about and that I have not put out because I'm kind of like, no one's going to read this. I'm not a good poet. I'm not really a poet. But I guess because I'm just so used to my world at one time was saturated. And when I say saturated, I mean by color and you know, just I could see the, you know, when the leaves changed, I could see when the trees became naked. I could see, you know, all of those things. And so I still remember some of them and then some of them I don't. But I play on those words because I'm still emotionally attached to that imagery, if that makes sense. And so I don't know, some of the imagery in my prose to me is very important, I guess, because I'm trying to, I guess, to attract some people who are sighted, who are visually motivated, and the world is kind of visually motivated outside of being visually impaired. And I'm not sure if I do that because that's what I'm trying to do, or if it's just because it's just something that's naturally a part of my writing. I don't even know how to write differently, to be honest.
Cool.
Do you have any more hands?
Don't see any right now.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're at 7:55.
Yeah.
And if there aren't any more hands, Nell, I'd like to know if you'd like to tell everybody where to find your books,
sure.
Or if you have a newsletter or however people want to follow you and get to know you better and buy your stuff.
Okay. Well, you can definitely find me at nellanthony.ink, I-N-K. That's my website. And it doesn't start, it's just https://nellanthony.ink. I'm on amazon.com. I'm on Smashwords. I think I'm on Barnes and Noble now, which is really freaking cool.
Wonderful.
I was like, oh, Barnes and Noble. I'm on their website. Let's see. There's a few other places. I was really ecstatic to see myself on Hoopla. Dark Brilliance is on Hoopla. That was really cool to me.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know, right? And Hoopla, for those of you who don't know, Hoopla is like connected to your local library.
Right.
And one of the things, if you know, when what happens is that whenever the library buys your book, you get like, I think like they buy your book for like, let's say they buy your book for $7, you get like $3 back. But every time somebody checks your book out, you get 49 cents. And I know that sounds like, what, 49 cents? But I didn't even know you got paid when somebody checked your book out. So that's really neat. I didn't know that. So yeah. Not that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have brought that up, but.
No, hey, 49 cents is better than 0 cents.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, I also have a newsletter. I will, if you want me to, I can post that on Facebook. It is actually on Facebook. It's on my Facebook page at the very, very top. If you go to my profile, it's pinned at the top.
And your profile is Nell Anthony
No,
on
actually,
Facebook.
well, yeah, it is on Facebook. It's Nell Anthony.
Okay.
If you look up my email address, you'll find me quicker because I'm pretty sure there's more than one Nell Anthony in the world. I mean, that doesn't need to be. I mean, come on, there's only one me, but obviously. But yeah, so there's that. And I'm trying to think, is there anywhere else? Oh yeah, Amazon also has an author page on me. So if you go directly to my author page, you will find all my books. There's The Circle, Dark Brilliance, and Friction, a romantic thriller.
Excellent. Any last words for us?
Primarily just thank you. Thank you everybody for coming. It's really, really exciting that so many of you came to hear me speak and to hear about my book and to hear me read from my book. And I'm looking forward to hopefully doing this again when another book comes out.
I hope so too, and I hope it's soon. And no
Yes.
pressure. No pressure. No pressure. Well, thank you, Nell. And
Thank you.
I really hope this opened up some more new readers for you. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we do this. Get to know the author. Sometimes people go, oh, you know, now that I know who wrote the book, I'll read the book.
Right.
Lisa, as our president of Behind Her Eyes, do you have any last words you'd like to impart?
I think I'm not sure if there's anyone here who doesn't know about Behind Our Eyes.
I have to take out the trash.
We are a group of disabled writers and we have a lot going on. We have, besides the book launches, we have a magazine called Magnets and Ladders that posts twice a year. It has short stories and essays and poetry, and we have a reader's workshop. We have critique groups. I'm going to forget something. I know I am.
It's okay.
And we have the writer exchange classes.
Yes, we do have those.
And the write-in. Don't forget the write-in.
See, you have a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's a wonderful group of people. And I'm so proud to be a member of so many great writers, including Nell. So,
Oh, and don't forget the genre list.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Yeah,
another
we have a
one.
lot of stuff. Yeah.
The genre list, and next month the genre list is doing short poetry.
Japanese.
Yes, Japanese short poetry. So,
And you can find us at www.behindoureyes.org.
thank you.
Yeah. All
Okay.
right.
So,
Well,
can we
sounds like
give
a
a
great.
clap for Nell?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
Virtual clap. Yay. Oh, all righty. All right, everybody.
Good
Well,
night.
I'm gonna end the meeting and you all have a good night and be well.
Good
Okay.
night.
Okay.